The Lord be with you.
And
also. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. On this second Sunday in Lent, the Church gives us St. Matthew's account of the Transfiguration. And of course, every year on August 6th, we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration. So a natural question might be, why is it that the Church gives us this particular Gospel reading on this Sunday? Well, the reason is because in the Transfiguration, Jesus is preparing for his passion. And in the company of Moses and Elijah, together with the voice of God the Father, Jesus is revealed as the one through whom God is fulfilling his divine plan in salvation history. Jesus is not only a new Moses, but he's also the beloved Son who was promised first to Abraham and then again to David. The Transfiguration event was there to certainly strengthen our Lord, but even more than that, the Transfiguration must have been intended to strengthen his closest disciples. And as his disciples and we draw ever closer to the events that will take place in Jerusalem in just a few weeks, Jesus' disciples were not really prepared for what would happen. In appearing in this manner to Peter, James, and John, Jesus is prefiguring for all of us what the resurrection will be like. Jesus shows his disciples that God is the God of the living. He's not the God of the dead. And that's because Moses and Elijah appeared. Now remember that Elijah is said to be in Scripture the greatest of the prophets. And we last heard of him in the Old Testament when he was taken up to heaven in a fiery chariot. And so it seems that evidently Elijah had not died. On the other hand, Moses, who we last heard of in the book of Exodus, he was definitely known to have died. And yet, there he was conversing with Jesus. And then we have Jesus, who at this point is, of course, still quite alive, but in a transfigured state. So we're given this rather mysterious vision that there is something beyond this world that is entirely glorious. In Jesus' lifetime, some of the Jewish people believed in the resurrection, similar to the way that we would understand it, of the dead. But many did not. The Sadducees did not. They were the temple priests, and their teaching was that there is an afterlife of sorts in a place called Sheol, a somewhat shadowy place, an abode of the dead, or the netherworld is a word that we might use. Jesus' disciples would need to understand that what would soon happen to Jesus in Jerusalem would not be the end, but rather it was for the purpose for his coming into the world. His crucifixion would be the beginning of the redemption of all humanity. But of course, at the Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John really don't yet have a context for understanding all of this. And it'll be only after his resurrection that they will understand these events that are taking place now. And of course, I think that you and I have a great advantage over them. We know what will soon happen on Good Friday. We know what will happen on Easter Sunday. And the church gives us these readings to show us that, you might say, on the other side of our Lenten penances and sacrifices, there is a very bright light. There is a newness of life, and if we can continue in our faithful observances and carry through with the passion of Christ, not only during this season, this year, but throughout our life, if we carry through with the passion of Christ, we will experience a resurrection that will be glorious indeed. And what we're doing each day now is uniting ourselves with Jesus as he is moving steadily toward his cross. And we are being asked to take up our own crosses, to walk with him on that path to Calvary. Basically, we're reminded of the promise that there is something fantastically glorious waiting for us beyond whatever is the situation that we have today. We may have already experienced the reality since Lent began that we aren't keeping our commitments to the extent we had intended, and the temptations that we had before Lent and at the beginning of the Lent, they're still there. We may be thinking that we just can't hack all that we were expecting of ourselves in this season of Lent. But the church always wants us to have hope and basically tells us, keep going, get up. If you've fallen under your cross, be like Jesus and continue to walk toward the freedom that will be yours when our sins no longer have a hold on us. And don't just look at your sins and at your own human weakness. Look at the strength of Jesus Christ. And that's what the church is asking of us. Now, the church also puts in front of us this morning the reading from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, which tells us in just a couple words, you know, we are to bear our share of hardships, which the gospel is going to require of us. If we're going to be united with Jesus Christ as true members of his mystical body, we've got also to be united with him in his suffering. As Catholics, hopefully we've all heard that before. Now, the gospel requires that, no matter what other popular and appealing versions of the gospel might be. I'm thinking of the gospel of health and wealth, which gives us a very different interpretation. It gives us the idea that you just need to believe in Jesus and everything is going to be given to you. In fact, the gospel of health and wealth claims that there will be money coming out of your ears, maybe even gold coins, better than our dollar, since God wants everything wonderful for you and me. But Jesus reminds us that if you and I are going to be his followers, we do have to take up our cross and follow him. Jesus lived a gospel of real suffering, a gospel of self-denial, a gospel of enormous sacrifice. But it's also a gospel that points beyond all this to glorious resurrection. One way to think of all this is to think of Jesus' crucifixion. You could take together his crucifixion, his resurrection, but let's just focus on the crucifixion as maybe the central point of human history. And if you want an image, use the image of a turnstile. We've got to go through that turnstile. We've got to go through the cross in order to get to the other side. Now, you and I are also called to listen to the voice of God our Father, who at the Transfiguration says simply, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And then what does Jesus tell his apostles? "Do not be afraid. There's nothing to fear. Put the past behind you. Look forward," even as we know that the cross is ahead of us. But we also know what's further ahead when we go through the turnstile, because Jesus has already shown us the way. We as Catholics, as Christians, we know that the story does not end at the crucifixion. The story ends with the resurrection. And it is a promise, it's a guarantee that we have been given. And all of this starts now by our recognizing that being faithful to our Lord in our Lenten observance is going to bring about a transfiguration that begins even in this life before we get to the resurrection. A transfiguration, you might say, from sin to grace, from living merely our human worldly existence to living a divine existence in the realm of grace and light. And we're always being invited to pass from whatever is the kind of darkness that we might be in to light. And that's what's particularly intensively going on during the season. So in the midst of our own very real daily struggles, the Church puts before us the transfiguration to give us hope, to give us confidence. And just listen to the voice of Jesus. He continues to encourage us along the way. And what does he say to us? "Be not afraid." And what does God the Father say to you and me? Listen to him.